The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning again, everybody. And we are glad to have the opportunity to meditate and contemplate and share the word of God, the word of truth, the word of life. Today, we, in our journey to restoration, we are looking at restoring sight. Restoring sight. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that sight will be restored today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that vision will be restored. In the name of Jesus. Holy words, long preserved for our work in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. And so it is and shall be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Restoring sight. Our text is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 8. I'm reading Mark 8 from verse 22 to 26. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. It says, when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hand on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. Your eyes will be opened. In the name of Jesus. His sight was completely restored. Your sight will be completely restored in the mighty name of Jesus. And he could see everything clearly. You will see everything clearly in the mighty name of Jesus. Amazing. Jesus sent him away saying, "Don't go back into the village, on your way home." The Lord bless the reading and the understanding of his words in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we see a story of a man that came to Jesus or was brought to Jesus, and Jesus healed him of his blindness. Now, this is a classic story of restoration. Sight will be restored today in the name of Jesus. Physical sight will be restored. Spiritual sight will be restored. Mental sight will be restored in the mighty name of Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And in this story of restoration, it is interesting to note that the man was restored fully. Now, the Bible says that he was restored fully and he could see. He was restored fully and he could see. And there was no indication that the man was born blind or not. We don't know. So if the man was born blind and the Bible says he was fully restored, restored to what? Restored to what? If the man could see and, you know, his vision was not, I mean, it's not everybody that can see that has perfect sight. His vision, you know, may not be perfect. So, and the Bible says it was completely restored. Was it restored to how his sight was? Or completely restored as he should be? As he should see clearly, as we saw in scriptures, he was completely restored and he could see clearly. So what are we saying? What we are saying is this. Restoration is not taking you back to where you were. Restoration is taking you to where you ought to be. So when God restores you, he's not taking you back to where you were. You know, it suggests that. But the restoration is deeper than that. It's taking you back to where you ought to be. The only indication or indicator that this guy could see before was that when Jesus asked him, "What can you see?" He said, "Oh, I see men like trees." So it suggests that he knew what trees were. He could recognize trees. He could recognize men, and you know, he could say that, okay, I can't see, but not as I ought to. So you know what seeing ought to be. So if he was born blind, he probably wouldn't know what seeing ought to be, right? And he wouldn't be able to say these are trees. Oh, these are looking like trees, even though they are men. If you just think that is how men look like. Right. So God was not restoring him back to where he was. God was restoring him back to where he ought to be. So I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When he says, "I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten," it's not, he's restoring to you the years. It's the things you should have accomplished in those years. By heaven, he will compress it and release the restoration of those years to you. Praise the name of the Lord. So if your sight was, you couldn't see clearly, you could see, but you couldn't see clearly, restoration would mean that you begin to see perfectly. You have a 20/20 vision, as it's called, and you begin to see perfectly. So the first thing that jumped out at us is the fact that restoration is to where God intends for you to be. And when we look at this passage of scripture, one of the things that came out in this story is the fact that a group of people brought this man to Jesus. And that's very powerful, because this man was blind, but he had people. You know, if you have a challenge, it's okay, everybody has challenges. But if you don't have people, that's where the problem is. That's where the problem is. This man was blind, but he had people that cared about him. And that shows the first thing here, the power of community. He had people. Some people brought him to Jesus. Now, if you have sight and you don't have people, you are in trouble. If you don't have sight and you have people, you will get sight, because the people will help you to get sight, either by being your guide until you get to a situation where you get sight. When you get to that situation, embrace it with all your heart. And that situation has come upon you today. Embrace it with all your heart. Community is so powerful. Community is so powerful. Why? Because none of us is as strong as all of us. No matter how strong you are not as strong as all of us combined together. None of us is as anointed as all of us. No matter how anointed you are, praise God. But you are not as anointed as all of us combined. None of us is as wise as all of us. You may be wise, praise God, but you are not as wise as all of us combined. None of us is as strong as all of us. So we see here that people brought him to Jesus. Now, the question is, who are you bringing to Jesus? Who has come to Jesus on your account? Look around. Who can you say is standing today, is in God today, because of your invitation, because of your persistence, because you will not let go? Who? And it's interesting that we can easily want to say that, oh, I need people. But what we need to realize is that we need to be that people for others. Who are you bringing to Jesus? It's a question you need to think about as we proceed in this beautiful, beautiful text of scripture. So the first thing we see is the power of community. Power of community. The second thing we see here is personal encounter with Jesus. Jesus brought him to himself. He touched him. He led him to a place outside of the village. He had a personal encounter with Jesus. You see, the truth is that others may help you get to Jesus, but you have to encounter Jesus for yourself. Others may help you come to God, but you have to seek God out. Encounter God for yourself. For yourself, it's easy, particularly where community is strong, to get lost in the crowd. It's easy where there are people around you that are following Jesus, that you assume that because you are Mr. A or Sister B's friend, and Mr. A and Mr. B are following Jesus, it means that you are following Jesus. No. It doesn't mean you are following Jesus. In fact, the law of transitivity in maths does not apply here. If A equals to B and B equals to C, doesn't mean A is equal to C in this situation. So you have to seek Jesus yourself. You have to reach out. You have to desire. You have to embrace him for yourself, by yourself. So community can guide, can help, can bring you, but you have to. Years ago, I was in the north of Nigeria. I can't remember which state exactly, we're rolling out some infrastructure projects across all the states in the nation. And, I was going from state to state to state. And we were having I took a break and sitting by the side of the road. And I saw a man, young boy, was carrying his brother. His brother was crippled. And I could read the situation that that young man, his life assignment is to carry his brother for the rest of his life, to take care of his brother, you know, which is good. I mean, we have to be there for one another. We have to carry one another, right? So he was carrying his brother, but his brother was quite, you know, a personality, you know. So I engaged them, and, you know, I was really burdened in my heart for this crippled boy, number one, or young man, number one, and number two, for his brother that was carrying him on his back, and he's been carrying him for years. It doesn't happen every time, but when it does happen, I know it. So I felt the burden, my heart broke before God, and I knew that I should pray with him, and I was confident that God was going to heal him on the spot. So I said to him, you know, and of course in the north, you don't do those kind of things. If you know, I've told you another story, but let me stay focused. So I said to them, Achikin Suna Yesu, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let me pray for you. You will be healed. The boy that was carrying the brother was, you could see his eyes lit up. He was excited. He was like, wow, finally. But the boy that was being carried said no. And I'm like, why? He says, I should not pray for him in that name, that he would rather die crippled than receive healing from Jesus. And I could see the sadness on the face of the brother that had to carry him. And I said to him that, but Jesus loves you. He didn't say I should get out. He's not interested. I said, but he died for you. He just told the brother to come on, carry him out of here. And the boy had to pick him up, carry him. And he was looking back at me that, you know, and he left. So people can bring you to God, but you have to embrace God for yourself. And it is unfair for people that are always carrying you, being there for you, carrying your body, and you are not even making the effort to reach God for yourself. You are enjoying the handouts. You will never enjoy handouts in the name of Jesus. May handouts be repulsive to you. May you go from strength to strength as you seek Jesus for yourself in the name of Jesus. So we see that there is personal encounter. Then number three, we see the process of healing, that there's actually a process to healing. There's a process to this healing. And we see in the fact that Jesus met him in a village, led him out of the village. I mean, people can argue, why did Jesus have to bring him out of the village? And in this case, he didn't actually even say to the others not to come. He didn't. He just led him out of the village. I mean, my guess is that the people followed because, I mean, we brought someone to you. We are taking him away. Let's see what's going to happen, you know. So he led him out of the village. Then he spat on him. I mean, that is very interesting, you know. Jesus on the guy's face. Then he touched him and say, okay, what can you see here? If you spit on someone that can see, I mean, the person can't see anymore. If you close his eyes, because you've complicated the situation. Then someone cannot see. You are not spitting on it, on his eyes. God's ways are not our ways, you know. And it takes us, the process it takes us through, sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. That's just the truth. I've heard people talk, I mean, they talk very big and flamboyantly as though they have God under their, in their pocket. You know, and I laugh because They are just ignorant, ridiculously ignorant or hypocritical. God takes us through paths that, and those things that we are like, we don't understand. He came back, he says, what do you see? He says, I see men as trees. Men as trees. I mean, people could argue, Jesus, the all-powerful living God, why couldn't just heal him once? Why did he have to come for a second touch? Many times, sometimes, there's a process to healing. Sometimes there's a process to healing. And when he was going, he has healed him. This boy is healed. He says, avoid that village. Don't go back to that village. I mean, that is that in itself communicates many things on different levels. You know, I've heard, I mean, Bible scholars argue that that meant that Jesus did not want him to publicize his fame. But in this case, that was not the case. Because Jesus told him to go home. So the boy was not from the village. Jesus told him to go home, but don't pass through that village. And the people Jesus would say, don't publicize this, is always clear to them. He would say to them, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody it's me. It was always clear. Jesus did not, there are different arguments on what it means. But, you know, if you understand spiritual domains and how things work, sometimes there are certain battles that God wants to shield you from. And because God wants to shield you from these battles, God will lead you away from certain villages. It's interesting that they use the term village here. We know what the village people, as it is communicated. So, there are certain villages God would ask you to avoid. People can argue, is God not all-powerful? Is Jesus not all? Can't he just give him power to overcome everything? If he says avoid it. There's no way that it's written that you must fight every battle in life. If Jesus says, avoid that village, avoid it. And for some people, the village can be a village of an argument. You want to go and argue with this person? God said, avoid the village. Oh, you want to have that? God says, avoid that village. For some people, that village is a person, is a relationship. God is telling you, avoid that village. Avoid it. You're like, but she's a Christian. I'm a Christian. You know, God says, avoid that village. Avoid it. Avoid the village. Avoid the village. So there are certain engagements that God will restrain you from. Let me give you an example. Years ago, I was going to start a church. We were going to start a church in the Caribbean, a country called St. Vincent and the Grenadines. So, of course, it was a spiritual thing. So as we were touching down in St. Vincent, I was praying, scanning the environment and everything. So we were on the immigration line queue, and I lifted up my eyes. They were having a carnival, and the creature that was like, the carnivals are usually having different creatures, that they dance with in their images and all that. But this particular one, it was like the eyes pop out and became real and was staring at me. I moved, it was tracking and staring at me. It was an inanimate object, but it came, it was like, it wasn't in the spirit. It was even, I think it was a physical thing. However, I saw it and the eyes like came alive. It was more like, I was on the queue and I'm like, so bloody what? And I wanted to engage the spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to me, don't do it. And I said, okay. So I looked at it more like, God save you today. You know, so I looked at it and, you know, and just ignored it and, you know, got in the country, did what we had to do and stuff. It was a great trip. On my way back, through the same airport, I noticed the creature, and the Lord was saying to me that if you had engaged that creature, they would have deported you from that country. In fact, they would not have allowed you to come in. And I'm like, wow. Then you have to be fasting, praying, you know, binding, you know. I'm like, wow. So God allowed us to come in like it was like a covert mission. You know, so don't bother, don't engage. And many times, we need to be careful. There are certain villages God will say to you, avoid that village. Avoid that village. Avoid that village. So we see that this man's sight was restored. Your sight will be restored in the name of Jesus. So, three significance of a restored sight and we'll be done. Number one, three significance of a restored sight. Number one, renewed perception. When sight is restored, there is transformation in how you perceive the world. There's transformation. Those that wear glasses will tell you, will attest to it, that the first time you get your glasses and you put it on, it's like, wow, you are seeing colors that you never saw before. You know, everything is bright and beautiful. All things bright and beautiful. You know, you're like, wow, wow. I mean, when you got your reading glasses, you are like, wow. You are seeing the letters clearly. Everything is beautiful, enjoyable. Because your sight is going to be restored, everything will be beautiful and enjoyable in the name of Jesus. When sight is restored, you move from darkness to light. You move from limitations to possibilities, you know, because when there's no light and the room is dark, even though you can move, you are moving with caution. You are taking baby steps. You are feeling your way. But once you can see and the room is bright, you can even run through the room. You make significant progress. Your possibilities become endless in the name of Jesus. You gain understanding. You gain insight. Renewed perception leads to a deeper awareness of oneself. You see yourself clearly. You see others clearly. You see God clearly. Many times, people don't even see themselves clearly. Many times, people don't even see others clearly. You read people wrong. If you find that you keep reading people wrong, you're going to have problems in life. And some people, that's all the enemy does to them. It just gives them relational blindness. So they read people wrong. They see friends. They call friends enemies. You see enemies. You are calling enemies friends. If they want to destroy you, that's they give you that. That's all. You know, because people that God has sent to help you, you talk about them, you abuse them, then they withdraw from you. Then you're wondering you're why you're struggling. Then you're praying, you're fasting for 50 days, disturbing God. Meanwhile, some people, they are not for you, but you can't see. Then those are the people you are confiding in. Those are the people you are leaning on. I pray that you see clearly in the name of Jesus. You see, clear, your perception changes. You see God clearly. Also, so renewed perception leads to a deeper awareness of oneself, others, and of God. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we gain independence and freedom. And freedom. Sight frees a person from the constraints of blindness. All the constraints of blindness, from ignorance, from misunderstanding, from prejudice. and leading to a more liberating and fulfilling life. That's what sight does. It gives you autonomy, independence. However, there's a difference between independence and freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has made us free. There's a difference between independence and freedom. What's the difference? It's not even just a play of words. It's not a play of words at all. Independence is you can act by yourself without depending on others and without restraints. That's independence. You are independent. You can act by yourself without depending on others. However, freedom is you act by yourself without depending on others and without restraints. Two different things. So the fact that you can act by yourself, you are independent, doesn't mean that you do act by yourself, that you are free. You can act by yourself, you are independent, but you need to take substance, you need to take drugs to be okay. You are not free. You're a slave to the drug. You're a slave. You need to take alcohol. You're a slave to the alcohol. You need to take alcohol because you can be free with your spouse. You are a slave to it. You are dependent on it. So, and I'm praying that everyone that is a slave to anything other than God, that heaven will set you free in the name of Jesus. Independence is not freedom. You know, so we have, every teenager, you think you are smarter than your dad, you think you are smarter than your mom, you want to be independent. Oh, I can't wait until I leave this house. I can't wait until I begin to earn my own money. When you begin to earn your own money, you leave the house, you graduate, you are independent. But you will realize that, just like someone said to me, that, she can't wait until she starts making her own money, so that she can be independent, then she will be able to buy Starbucks. I said, okay, that's interesting. So you'll be able to buy Starbucks. So what's your plan? She said she will work in Starbucks. I said, okay, you want to get a job in Starbucks? Okay, so you'll be able to buy Starbucks. I said, okay. By the time you get a job in Starbucks, you'll discover that you need to pay your rent, you need to pay your bills, your water bills, your light bills. And you may not even have money to buy this Starbucks, You may not be financially free. You may be independent, but you may not be free. Take countries that were colonized, for instance. Take African countries. A lot of them, if not all of them, were colonized, right? Only one was not colonized. We all have Independence Day. For Nigeria, October is coming, we have Independence Day. We celebrate the day we were independent. Yeah, we were independent. We can act by ourselves. But the question is, are we free? Is Nigeria really free? Really, is Africa really free? Are we free? Can we act without restraint, without depending on others? Can we? The day we can, then we are free. Then we are free. So you're like, okay, Pastor, how do I move from independence to freedom? There's one word. The link, the bridge that you go from independence to freedom is called responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. That is the bridge. That's the bridge that we go through. To be free. When you take responsibility. So you can be free. If you don't take responsibility, you end up in bondage. So when you take responsibility, and you discover that life is not about drinking Starbucks, you have to save your money, you have to invest your money, you have to generate cash flow, you have to ensure that you are financially free, you can then by the company called Starbucks. Praise the name of the Lord. So, we see that when sight is restored, you take responsibility for your life. You are willing to die on your feet than to be a slave and live on your knees. Until you are willing to take full responsibility, you can't be free. You can't be free. So we see number three is participation in community. So the significance of sight, number one, is renewed perception. Number two is independence and freedom. Number three is participation in community. Now, this man will be able to participate in the community better. He'll be able to navigate social spaces without restraints, but without stumbling. He'll be able to contribute to communal activities. Somebody needs a glass of water, can get up, oh, let me get it for you. He couldn't do it before because he himself needed somebody to lead him to where the water is. He'll be able to get married. He'll be able to see a wife and say, oh, wow, let me marry this girl. I mean, to be easier for a girl to receive him. And a whole lot of things. So when sight is restored, individuals can more fully participate in community life. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because your sight is being restored, your perception is being renewed in the mighty name of Jesus. You will see as you ought to see in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not see men as trees. You will not see friends as enemies. You will not see enemies as friends in the name of Jesus. Because your sight is being renewed, you will be independent. And not just independent, you will be truly free in the name of Jesus. And because your sight is being restored, not only will you be independent and free, you'll be able to participate in the community. You'll be able to contribute your own quota. You'll be able to add value to other people's lives. I want to pray with you this morning. You're like, Pastor, I need to start a walk with Jesus. I've been a part of a community. I've been coming to church. But that personal encounter with God, I've not had it. Today is your day, my brother. Today is your day, my sister. That personal encounter with Jesus, I need to have it, Lord. If that is you, we want to pray with you. Wherever you are, you may be online, you may be in church physically, we want to pray with you. If the app is going to come over and pray over you.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity you have given us today. Thank you for the privilege, this favor that you keep bringing our way to be able to hear your word and to yield to you. Accept us. Accept everyone that is here today in the name of Jesus. Lord, those that are making these commitments, Father, draw them closer to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that may be online giving their lives to Christ, oh Lord, we ask, oh God, that you reach out and touch everyone wherever they are in the mighty name of Jesus. And those that may even be hearing this message in future, we reach out into the future and touch everyone, oh Lord. Let our lives be transformed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We give you praise and glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah.